it's not just the flat characters, but the like the descriptions. It was like, you know, we walked into the dungeon, and then later it started turning into a swamp, and I'm like, how does that happen? How does a dungeon turn into a swamp? Like, couldn't you describe it? Like, is there a high ceiling? Is there some kind of sun? Like, I couldn't picture it. Like, are there trees? You know what I mean? Like, how does that happen? But there was never any description. And so I was like, you know, if I wrote Victor Tucson like this, it would go so fast. Like, I could get books done like this. You know what I mean? Sometimes I'll sit there and I'll just like try to imagine these scenes and actually describe them. And it takes so long. Like, what am I doing?
This is the Crit RPG Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything Lit RPG, Progression Fantasy, and Royal Road.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Crit RPG Podcast, the only podcast that regularly invites birds. With me today is Plum Parrot, author of, I will butcher this name because I don't know how to pronounce it, Victor of Tucson?
Tucson. A lot of people say Tucson, but Tucson.
Yeah, obviously, like, and the W is right in there. and I will also butcher this one because we talked about it. Now I'm anxious and I will probably forget.
Cyber Dreams.
There we go.
I was about to say,
yeah.
Yeah, you're going to say the first book title, weren't you?
Electric Angel?
Yeah, thank you.
There we go. I got it. Yeah. A book which I thoroughly enjoyed. So now he's here.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
I badgered you into coming here because I really want to talk to you about
it. As a bird, I don't talk to a lot of people. So this was tough. Yeah. But here I am.
And another famous bird, one of my friends, Host, who writes Merchant Crab. He is also a raven. And he, or crow, I should rather say. And he insults me a lot. So.
All right.
My bird bird speak, bird whispering abilities are honed, but also I should say a bit charged.
All right.
Okay. I haven't read Victor of Tucson yet, but I have read the first book of Cyber Dreams, which I really liked.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, nothing you can do about it. I will like it whether you like it or not.
I mean, if you didn't like it, would you say so on here? Or would you wait till I was gone? And
No. Actually, I don't think... Like, here's the thing. There is no such thing as a bad book, I feel personally. And I'm telling this to myself because I recently checked out my rating by accident, and now I'm devastated. It's just like whether or not you can hit the right mark, whether or not there are enough people who want to read it and think it's a good book.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
And if your book finds those people.
I had like with Victor of Tucson, I had people quit after one page. They're like, this isn't for me. Forget it. You know, I'm out of here. And that's just the way it goes. And then I've got other people who are, you know, waiting for every new chapter. And so, like you said, if you've got enough people who are interested in your story, then you can do something with it. So
you're saying they quit
Tucson?
Yeah.
Tucson.
Tucson.
Yeah. Too soon. I'm sorry. I missed it. Yeah. Right over my head.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
Good one.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. You will hear puns.
Yeah. That's good. I'll try to keep a ear out for him.
All right. But yeah, please actually, start with Victor. Tell us more about how that came to be, how you got into writing, and then how these two stories kind of emerged.
Well, when I started writing Victor Tucson, I was like working on the third book of my Falling with Folded Wings series, which was the first thing I ever wrote. I guess first thing I ever wrote and released, I should say. Mm-hmm. And I did Victor Tucson as a kind of like a fun activity. I was just like, I did the write-a-thon on Royal Road. And so, you know, I started writing Victor Tucson and I thought, well, this, I'm going to do this as a new perspective on the same world that my other story was in, which is Falling with Folded Wings. And so I thought, I'm going to start with a totally different kind of character. This guy's got, you know, he's young, he's got an attitude. He's totally kind of like a jock. He's not into this kind of like gaming and whatever, you know, whatever he sees, he's going to have that kind of like angry response to at first. And so I got into that and I thought, well, I don't know. I don't want to tell you the whole story, but anyway, I was like, I wanted him to have a much harsher welcome to the world of Fanwath, which is the world that these books are set in. And so he gets immediately kind of like dismissed because they summon him and he's got like, he's level zero and he's, you know, from Earth where they don't even have, you know, magic. And so they throw him, they kind of sell him off to this guy who runs pit fights. And so that's where he, day one, he's kind of put in a cage and he's told he's going to be fighting for his life. And
people on Werewolf will have loved that. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people did, but he cusses a lot and he doesn't make, he makes emotional decisions. And so like, I turned a lot of people away with that stuff. They're like, you know, this MC's an idiot. I can't, you know, whatever, but he does grow. He does learn. He does become more mature. And I mean, like if you looked at Victor in book 7, which I just wrapped up, versus Victor in book 1, it's a very different person. But
how long he's gone through
a lot. I mean, writing these stories since 21, I think I started 20, and I was still teaching. I mean,
yeah.
So
that's impressive.
Thank you. I mean, I'm freaked out every time I look at like my list of completed books. I don't know how I'm doing it, but it's just like, you know, you write a chapter a day and it just adds up. There's, you know, 350 some days in a year. What, 354. How many days?
354.
Is that right? That doesn't sound right to me.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, we can Google it. I'll look it up. This is the Crit RPG podcast, everyone. The podcast where you learn new stuff. Like for example, how many days are in there in a year? Did you teach elementary or
why did I say the number? Like I should have just said, you know, a lot of days in the year. But
anyway. Did you teach elementary or
no? I taught my last few years. I was teaching ninth grade English. So
okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
I taught middle school my whole. Yeah, I don't do numbers. I don't teach any of this kind of stuff. I taught Romeo and Juliet. Thank you. 365.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, you know, you write 3,000 words a day, and times, you know, 300. Say you take a few days off, you're doing a million freaking words a 300. Yeah.
Depends, like, right? If all your chapters are 3,000 words, then yes.
Well, that's my. I mean, like, I shoot for 3,000, but like every one is probably more like 32, 34. So it adds up. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but like, it's just kind of becomes a habit. Like, I feel weird if I don't sit down and type something every day.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. Before the podcast started, I already explained I started a new job and now I don't have my regular schedule of writing anymore. And it doesn't freak me out per se, but I'm like, I'm itching.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, like, especially if you're used to doing it, you know, like regularly. Yeah. It's like, if I'll take a couple days off, which I'm taking a break from Victor Tucson because I just finished book 7. And so like, I swear I feel weird. Like I have to sit down and I start brainstorming or doing some outlining. Like, I have this irrational fear sometimes. Like, what if I don't write for a while, like, and I go to write, what if I can't anymore? You know what I mean? Like, what if
Yeah. I mean, for that, the old Hemingway quote always helps me. You have,
what's that?
He stands in Paris in his rooftop, apartment. Brings his coffee and goes like, you've written before and you will write again. All you have to do is write one true sentence. Write the truest sentence you know. I love that quote.
I love because that. Like, that's great.
The thing is, like, the moment you sit down and write like one stupid sentence, the rest just flows. Yeah. Always. And if it doesn't, then that's the other thing. Then you haven't planned enough. Then you don't know where to go.
Yeah, totally true. Yeah. I like that. I'm going to remember that quote.
Yes. Hemingway's great. Yeah. But yeah, okay, so
you were talking, you wanted me to tell you about how I started writing Victor of Tucson. got okay, into cool. that a little bit.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to do?
Yeah. Okay. So timeline, you were a teacher. You mm-hmm. were doing middle school. You were writing Falling with Folded Wings. And how mm-hmm. did that go?
Well, I think I started thinking about writing during COVID. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. And that was a weird time to be
yes,
a teacher.
I do.
yeah. So coming in, like, they didn't have kids coming into us for like a year. Mm-hmm. And we'd mm-hmm. sit on Zoom, right? And then I'd talk to my kids through our Zoom classroom. And I'd give them things to work on. I'd answer questions. But then like there'd be this time in the day when like I'm not really like it's you know what I mean? Like the kids aren't on Zoom. I'm not supposed to leave the class. Like they had us come into the classroom to do our Zoom classes, right? So I'm in there by myself and like I'm caught up on my grading. Like, what do I do? Like, and so I started really thinking about plot lines and what I wanted to do. And so I got a lot of stuff done like mentally and preparing for writing at that time. And it kind of pushed me to the point to actually try, which was, that's why I'm called Plum Parrot, because when I first started releasing things on Royal Road, I was like, this might be terrible. People might like hate this. I don't want anyone to know that I'm the person who did this if it's terrible. Like it was honestly like it was like putting on armor. You know what I mean? Like that anonymity, it allowed me to actually put my words out there and get some feedback. And then once I had people reading my stuff regularly and making comments, then it just like it became addictive. I just wanted to keep writing. And so.
If you get the right comments.
Yeah. Well, I got a lot of kind of harsh ones, but you know, when you've been teaching for 20-ish years, and there's nothing I haven't heard. And like people are like, dude, how can you be so relaxed about this guy, you know, like people giving you all this negative feedback or, you know, responding to them. And like, it's really not hard. I just kind of like imagine they're one of my students, you know what I mean? And it doesn't bother me anymore. It's fine.
Oh man. So, that's really great. That's really great. Yeah. That's a good way of doing it. I care too much. But that being said, I do have, a small, but very valuable horde of rabid fans, which I continue to write for.
Awesome.
I want to continue to write for, I should say. But still, 3,000 words a day, like besides also having a job, is a lot. I mean, I certainly can't do it.
No, and let me clarify. When I was still teaching, I wasn't writing that much. I was doing like 2,000 word chapters, and I was doing a lot of them on weekends, and it wasn't that. Like there was no way I could get all that done, like you said, working full time. So
yeah, also yeah, the podcast takes time, obviously. So, that's quite legit, right? But I do feel as though, like we talked about, it's like the time I usually would commute. I think I want to actually spend writing. I mean, it's 40 minutes. I can write. I plotted today. I don't know, but it was hard to say. But yeah, cool, awesome.
That's good.
So give me. Wait. Timeline again. Falling with Folded Wings. What was that about, by the way?
So it's very similar to Victor of Tucson. It's about a bunch of Earthlings that are like on they're in an arc ship and they're traveling through space, and they end up coming to a system controlled world. And so it's kind of like it follows a few of those characters, and that was like one of the things that people, like some people liked it, but a lot of people complained the POV shifts. Like they liked one character, but they hated the other two, or vice versa. And so that was kind of one of the things I learned about. Like if you have a main character, it's okay to have some side points of view, but try to stick to the main character's plot line. You know what I mean? Like that's
for serials, for sure. It's completely different if you publish 2KU, I feel.
If you're planning to go out to release a full book at once, I think it's very different because people don't have to wait for days and weeks to get to that.
And then it's like the POV of the character you don't like, and then so yeah, okay, I get that. That makes sense. Yeah. And again, writing to market is difficult, but also
for sure
fun. Okay, Fallen Wings. Like you also like to play real world on hard mode, right? It's like, let's do a sci-fi story with multiple POV.
Right. Well, it's and that also got me a lot of negative feedback at the beginning because it starts off very sci-fi and then it becomes fantasy very quickly. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's all pure fantasy, system controlled universe. And so, some people are like, oh, finally a cool fantasy or a sci-fi.
Oh, no.
No, I was tricking you. I didn't mean to.
Oh, man. Like, Torchbearer is kind of the same, but it's not. But it's yes, but it's not. So I stopped with like a whole page of code that you have to parse through. And that gives you like background information. But you don't really need it. You don't really need it. Well, you kind of do. I don't know. And then it's like standard fantasy for a book. And then at the end, it becomes clear like, oh, wait. This world isn't real at all. It's a different world. So I'm terrible at promoting my own book. It's way more than that and also way less, and it's not this complicated, but you probably have the same issue, right?
I am really bad at self-promotion. And I can tell you that like your book, as far as I know, it has a very cool cover. But
thank you so much. Yeah, I did spend a lot of time on that cover. So
yeah, thanks. It's great. Yeah. I like it. But
and
But yeah, no, I'm really bad. I try to do a post here and there, like especially when I have a book release. But like I just feel weird about fluffing my own feathers. You know what I mean? So
nice. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, I know another word like that. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
It's a okay. So. Before we move on to Cyber Dreams and then the best advice you've gotten as a writer, I think that writing is only 50% writing. The rest is self-promotion, even if you're a trad author.
I don't know, 50%. I mean, maybe it's supposed to be, but there's no, I probably put 10% into that. And so you're probably right. I'd probably be doing better if I were better at that stuff.
Did you sign with a publisher? For these?
Podium has published all of my stuff. So
okay. I mean, and you're already like your books are already hitting pretty hard. I do believe if you were to do a bit more promo, I think you could easily double your readers.
All right. Well,
I'm gonna hit
you up on Discord for some tips on what I should be doing because I can
connect you to some people who know better than me. So
okay, cool. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I won't dispute that. I don't have the data too. So,
yeah, like there's this Facebook group. If you're an author, that's called like Lit RPG Authors Group. That's really nice.
Okay.
And if you're just quote unquote just a reader, like we appreciate you being here. Don't get me wrong. There's like other really cool groups on Facebook too, like the Lit RPG group, the Lit RPG Books group. These are different for some reason. But Progression Fantasy is also great. So yeah, these like kind of communities where they talk about it, also like Silver Pen. I think you're on that, right?
I am, but I don't spend any time there. I need to. Yeah, like I'm just
you can just ask people there. Who and also like the there's like a self-publishing kind of thread on Silver Pen that you can ask for or ask people in. So there's tons of stuff out there, and that's probably like the takeaway from this part. If you're an author, you're not alone, and you shouldn't be alone because people always think it's such a lonely profession. It's not.
Okay. I'll take your advice. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Finally, someone. Day three at work, man. Anyway. okay. Tell me about Cyber Dreams. How did that go?
All right, so I was deep into Victor of Tucson by then, and it was another write-a-thon, and I wanted to do something totally different, so I picked a female POV, and I had, like, the year before, I had played Cyberpunk 2077, and I just loved it, and, like, I mean, obviously, I didn't really make, like, an insert, like, it's not, like, we're not in that game world. But that was like kind of one of my inspirations. And I've always loved Cyberpunk though. I loved, like, I remember you know, Johnny Mnemonic, Blade Runner, like all these old, you know, cyberpunk stories. But like, I also was a big fan of like Diamond Age is one of my favorite books. What else? Anyway, that's beside the point. So I like the genre, and I thought, well, this would be cool. And like, they're always set in these big cities, like New York or Night City or whatever. But so I thought, well, you know, I know Tucson. Let's set a cyberpunk in future Tucson and see what that's like. And that's kind of how it just got started. And I picked, I wasn't going to have Juliet, the main character, be a female at first. And I was like trying to brainstorm like what my MC was going to be like, and nothing felt right. And then I started thinking, well, wait a minute, what if, you know, and I was thinking of this, like I was thinking, I don't know why, Julian. And then I was like, wait, what if it's Juliet? And so, I don't know, to me, it just really hit. And I've had so much fun with it. I love the characters in that story. And I've got so many like really supportive readers on Royal Road and Patreon who just are into it. And I just wish it was doing better on Kindle and Audible, but it's not,
well, we can,
it's
not,
I don't want to complain. It's not terrible, but maybe as more books come out, it'll pick up more.
Yeah. I mean, like, okay, I will go on record with this because you mentioned like, would I say it if I didn't like it, but I did give you some feedback about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the dialogue.
You did.
Right.
Yeah.
And that being said though, I still thoroughly enjoyed it because your characters are kind of great, right? Okay. Each of these people is very like believable, and they all have their like little backstories, and they feel very fleshed out right from the start. From the main character Juliet, who at the beginning has like real connections to her family, and okay, they're out of town, but there's obviously something going on there, and you're kind of like in the middle of this thing. It's good. It's very good. And of course, Ghoul is a big part of the first book, of course. I like that character too. In general, I can highly recommend it. If you have not read it, give it a try. And then you can go on Royal Road and leave angry comments about how it's sci-fi and female protagonist. Oh no.
I don't really get angry comments anymore, but I get like random 0.5 star reviews now that I stubbed it. So like its rating has slowly been falling. It's kind of a bummer because I got to number 6 overall for a while. That was awesome for a while.
Whoa, but, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was one point off that one achievement. I wanted to get to the top 5, but I didn't make it. So, but I got number 6.
I like I said, I checked out Torchbearer on my work computer because I wanted to check something. And like I saw my rating and now my life is ruined. It's quite fine. I think it's like 4.1 or something. But
have you stubbed that?
Nope.
Okay.
But it is like okay.
Your rating like
we'll see. We'll see how far it drops when I do.
There you go. You'll get people who like somehow come upon your story and they'll see it stubbed and they're like, 0.5. This guy's a jerk. Stubbed his story. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. How dare you want to earn money? Like, No, I mean, I'm not going to stub it for a while, like for a long while. I've been talking to some, I'm doing it ass backwards. I'm talking to narrators first and then asking publishers because I'm really an audio guy.
So are you gonna go through a publisher or are you gonna try to self-publish with a narrator of your choice?
I think I might as well try publishers. I'm just gonna toss it out, see what they can do, because I don't have the time to actually do the self-promo.
I always thought too. But then I see these guys with these other authors who have self-published, and I think, man, they're getting that whole bag. That's pretty nice. Yeah. No, I don't know.
Yeah. But I just finished an entire rewrite of the story. Told you about this, right?
You did. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's now ambitious. I'm kind of, it was fun. 240,000 words, just like done in 3 months. Really great. Now I'm thinking like, what am I actually doing with that? Do I just save it for KU? Do I start a new fiction on Royal Road and try to convert people over? Do I just upload it over my old one?
But then I'd love to hear what you decide to do because I have another side project that I was doing for a while. And I got the first book almost done, and I couldn't keep going with three. It was just so I took it down. I was just like, I don't want this sitting here dormant on Royal Road, because people are scraping those stories and stealing them and putting them on Kindle. And I was just like, so I don't know what I'm going to do with it when I finally get around to revising it and getting it ready. Do I just release straight to Kindle, or do I redo it on Royal Road? I don't.
I mean, this is like not a really tangent, but I guess we can talk about this as kind of like a bit of a preview for the bonus material on the Thinking Fat and Patreon, where we talk about author stuff, but also like more personal stuff. This is not a threat. Think about it. What's most important to you? Is it exposure? Is it money? Is it all these kind of other kind of things? Because if it's not exposure and money through Patreon, then why re-release?
Right.
Right. If you're continuing the book, then, and you want to have a continuous flow of Patreon money coming in, or, you know, sell chapters to Patreon, that could be a reason to relaunch, because you do want new eyes on it, and you do want, people to do the stuff. But
go ahead.
You also have to do a substantial rewrite. That's the Royal Road rules.
Right. Yeah, I knew that much, and I do intend to. The thing is that when I think about, like, I love Royal Road as a website, as a community. I just think it's really cool. And so, like, I don't want to, like, I don't want to get away from Royal Road. Do you know what I'm saying? So if I get to a point where Victor of Tucson and Cyber Dreams are ready for a pause, or at a finishing point someday, I don't know. So do I would like to keep the model that I have, where I release, you know, on Royal Road, and I release on Patreon, and I release eventually on Kindle. And
That's legit. Totally legit. In that case, if you wanted to keep doing that, then there's nothing going over, like, nothing against going over it again and then re-releasing it. You know, do like a bit of promo. Get a Rising Stars.
And I mean, honestly, the reason I pulled it, it was kind of like like I was stressed trying to keep track of three plot lines, but I was also making mistakes, and like there were plot holes, there were characters that changed their personality. It's because I didn't remember how I wrote this guy, you know, 4 weeks ago. So it was, definitely it needs some love before I release it again. So
I noticed this too. I mean, I have this other story that I love, that I really love. It's fun, it's lighthearted, and it's way more to market than Torchbearer. But I've promised to finish Torchbearer first. Now I got to do it. I mean, I got two more books, in me. And I would have loved to actually continue doing it, but it's just not economically viable at all. But, I will definitely finish the series before I do anything else, because it's kind of like the goal I set for myself. That being said though, I tried writing Band and Torchbearer at the same time. It doesn't work. It just doesn't. Like, it's hard. The characters are different. I have no idea how Ravensdecker does it. He does one story each day.
Oh, he has so many going. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I've got the two main stories I'm working on, and I don't want to do more. The way I have it is I write one every other day, right? And so, like, I'm only away from one story for a day, right? And that's okay for me. Like, I can keep things going that way. But I was trying to do this third story just on Saturdays, and it was just like, it's too long between, you know?
Yeah, for me, the characters started to bleed into each other, even if I did it like one day this, one day that. And I think what I would do, and this is probably the end of that tangent, is I would pre-write the entire book and then release book A at like three a week, while writing book B, then revising book A while book B is releasing, then revising book B. Well, it's a new ad. If you're interested in having your story shouted out on this podcast, please reach out to me under critrpg.podcast@gmail.com. But in the meantime, why not check out the old version of my book, Torchbearer? You can find it on Royal Road, and there's a link down below. Otherwise, thank you very much for listening and or watching, and I hope you're enjoying the show. And no, wait. You have to write book C in there somewhere. I forget. But yeah, it's like leapfrogging basically your releases.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That could be fun. I mean, that could be cool because I like to finish. I like to finish books. It's fun. It's nice. Yeah. What's the best advice you've ever gotten as a writer?
I think write every day. Even if it's 100 words, you know, or 50 words, if you just, it adds up like we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And so I think I took that to heart. Yeah. And I agree with it.
Yeah. Like this is always the one that people say. So I'm going to press you on that a little bit in a minute.
Sure.
But it
sure.
is right. It is completely right. If you write every day, you not only keep momentum, you also feel as though you've done something and you can mm-hmm. go to bed going like, hey, I tried holding on to that dream. I tried writing a bit mm-hmm. more, right? And that's nice. But besides, if you write every day, what
if
else?
You want, yeah, I would say the other thing is don't be afraid of failure. And if you have to pretend you're a plum-colored parrot to get your stuff out there, then do it. You know what I mean? Like do it anonymously because it's not worth sitting and just being afraid to start because you're afraid it's going to be bad. You know what I mean? You might as well try it. And you only get better by doing it. Like it's just
on the Crit RPG Discord, the closed one for my friends and I.
Yeah.
We had this thing going on. The Trash Olympics. It was great. The idea was to write the most horrible trashy story you could without thinking about it, just like releasing it every single second. Right. Every time you're done, chapter, don't revise, just put it out there. Let's see.
Yeah.
And we're like, I got 5 followers. It's really, really cool.
And, nice.
This is shout outs to I can't give any shout outs because the whole idea is like it's anonymous. Right. We all had different anonymous stories. A bit like I did with Band. I told no one I wrote Bands and just put it out there because no one checks like, oh, this author's also written. There's cool. really cool stories in there. One of them, I can't talk about them, but they're so cool. There's such good trash, and that's the point, right?
Yeah.
You can write trash, and it's okay to write trash. That's how Torchbearer started, and also how it ended. I can't talk well about this book, even though I love it to pieces. Okay, so besides that, what's your point? What's the other best advice?
Oh, wasn't that it? Just don't be afraid to write. Just do it.
Oh, like, shit.
Don't, you know? And I mean, I wish I didn't really waste years. I was doing other things, but I wish I had started writing earlier. And it's just like,
oh, yeah.
It's
if you're an audio, Plum Parrot is actually not Plum. He is wearing a dark navy Adidas hoodie, jacket, training jacket.
Right.
And he has gray in his beard. It looks very good. Thanks. Very salt and pepper.
I earned these grays dealing with children for too many years.
Absolutely. Like you can see it in this light, but I have like a gray strand like running over here.
Very nice.
So you were saying?
I don't, nothing. Okay. That was it.
Yeah. Podcast over. Okay. Good.
See you later.
Nah. Okay. I mean, those two things, like don't be afraid and write every day. I think if you just do these two things, just don't be afraid, forehead, then I think the rest will settle itself. Yeah.
The industry is so different nowadays. Like there's the gatekeepers can't really keep you out anymore. You know what I mean? Yep. And there's these websites where you don't have to even be yourself. Like we were talking about, like there's no reason not to be writing and to put it out there and get feedback. And if you really want to be a writer, you have to do it. And that's all there is to it. You can't like, and after you've written every day for a year, you're going to be a better writer than you were when you started. I don't care. You know, that's just the way it is. It's practice.
This goes out to my friend, Sean, Dad's Bedtime Stories. You can find his books, Sean Wilson. You can find his books on KU. You can see his early ratings. You can see his ratings on My Sons and I Got Reborn as a Goblin, I think was what it was called, right? Uh-huh. Within a year, I mean, this guy writes like a machine, but that's beyond the point. But within a year, he went from this kind of like okay-ish goblin story with like 1,200 followers to writing Ultimate Level 1, which just breached 9,000 followers.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
And all he does is he writes without fear what he wants to write. He writes the stories he wants to write. He doesn't plot. He just pants everything and he just writes it all down. And you can do that too.
Yeah. Do it. I plot more than I do. I mean, now I plot more than when I started. Yeah. But
Tell me about it. Like, yeah.
And I think it shows, like, I think my book arcs are a little more, I don't know, understandable and fun and
good.
I don't want to get into another tangent, but
No. That's the next topic. What's one thing that you do differently now than when you started?
Okay, so my first series was Falling with Folded Wings, and I still get, like, I've probably had 10 people over the course of the last couple years reach out to me, hey, when's Falling with Folded Wings 4 coming out, right? So it's not like I'm getting thousands of these requests, right? But, you know, a few people, and I'm like, you know, I want to write more in that series, but I did so many things that I wish I had done differently that, honestly, it feels like I need to start the whole thing over again. And then... That idea is like, could I even do that? Because like Podium published those for me and they own rights to, you know, maybe they'd be on board with a re-release, like a new version 2 or something. But I like those characters and I want to continue the story. But then again, I also want to like do it so much better. And it's kind of a frustrating feeling. Like I want my new stories to be like the things I write now to be building off of things that I'm happy with. And like, there are parts of those books that I'm really happy with, but there are some parts that I just wish I had done differently. So I don't know.
Talk to me about plotting.
Yeah. That's one of the things, like, when I started writing that series, I was just like, hey, this guy is going to be like, these people are going to end up on this planet and we'll see what happens. And so I just kind of like pantsed it. And I just went and kind of like, well, I'm kind of tired of writing this character. I'm going to introduce a new character. And so I would do that for a while. And then I'd go back to the other character. And I found that that kept me kind of engaged. It was interesting for me to jump around to these different characters that, of course, I liked them all. But my readers didn't. And so that was another one of those lessons, you know. It's okay. Yeah, like with Victor at Tucson, I will show different POVs. Like, but they're so short and they're following his main plot. Like, I'm not like starting whole new arcs with other characters. Do you see what I'm saying? So
absolutely. My only question is, does he have kids?
Victor?
Mm-hmm.
No.
You should give him two sons, because then they could be the two sons of Victor of Tucson.
Right. That's a good one. And I didn't miss it. So, yeah.
Yeah, no. I made it quite obvious. I intend my puns. I'm not some weakling. Shout out to that meme. So, but yeah, in general, yeah, plotting makes sense.
It helps.
I definitely have plotted. So... You know how in traditional publishing, you pants the entire book, then you go back through it and make it look as though you knew what you were doing?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did. Okay. But in the next book, I will honor the great words of the immortal Travis Baldry, because he said, I hate doing things twice. I really got into plotting a bit more, but I have to like have this balance because I don't want to plot too much. But there's this book called Take Off Your Pants by Libby something. I'll link it down below. You can buy the book down below if you want to. It's an affiliate link. She basically talks about how to plot emotional arcs more than the arcs of what needs to happen. Because if you plot the emotional arcs, you know what your characters need and how they will act, rather than, you know, like writing down a string of sentences that then in the end completely derail. And I found that to be actually quite true. One of my biggest weaknesses in Torchbearer was that Samantha, the main character, stayed in one emotional state far too long. And I did some jujitsu and shortened that and put it into like this like falling and rising arc. But yeah, sorry.
Good. No, that's cool. Yeah, that's great advice. Like my late, I just finished Cyber Dreams book six on no, book five on Patreon, and so I'm starting book six. And before I did, like, that was part of my plotting. Like, I had, okay, so this major event needs to occur, but in that event, I have to deal with this relationship and this relationship, and I need this to happen, and, you know, to this character, and this to happen to that character. And so I kind of like fit them all together like a puzzle almost. And then, so I kind of know, okay, in part one, all these things are going to happen. In part two, all these things are going to happen. In part three, this will happen. And then I'll start writing and none of it will fit. So it'll be totally different by the time I'm done. But, you know, I tried.
I do think that this is where the masterclass is. Or this is S-tier writing, I should say, to be with the kids these days. If you're connecting the inner story with the external action, or inner action with the external action, I should say, that's where everything really comes together, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because as you said, like, you have, if the external action happens and the main character or supporting character, if you're writing a flat arc, doesn't change at all, then okay, cool. But that's then just like a series of events. However, you want the cool big moments to be impactful on someone or something to show that they are big moments. Otherwise, they are just like big explosions, which are also nice, right?
That's what readers remember, right? They remember those big moments where there was something emotional going on. It made them feel something. And they don't remember all the little things in between. And so you've got to have those moments. You got to show that character going through something. And if they don't, then it doesn't stick with a reader.
Yeah, so completely. Yeah. Even though in lit RPG the whole having emotions thing is heavily frowned upon, but that's not quite true. The main characters have emotions; they just don't dwell on it. And also, the character arcs are mostly flat. Did you notice this?
Oh, I've noticed it. I was listening to a book. I won't name the author of the book because I don't want to, but it was, it's not just the flat characters, but the, like the descriptions. It was like, you know, we walked into the dungeon and then later it started turning into a swamp. And I'm like, how does that happen? How does a dungeon turn into a swamp? Like, couldn't you describe it? Like, is there a high ceiling? Is there some kind of sun? Like, I couldn't picture it. Like, are there trees? You know what I mean? Like, how does that happen? But there was never any description. And so I was like, shit,
it's a European podcast. You can swear. This is fine.
Okay. I was like, you know, if I wrote Victor Tucson like this, it would go so fast. Like, I could get books done like this. You know what I mean? Sometimes I'll sit there and I'll just like try to imagine these scenes and actually describe them. And it takes so long. Like, what am I doing?
Okay. Yeah. This is the other point. Like, I love lit RPG. Like, I wish I could write like this, but I'm an idiot perfectionist, right? I love sentences like, what was the one that I loved the other day? It's like, the old Samantha died that day and the new one was born from the ashes of her rage. A necessary act of vengeful necromancy, or so I told myself. Like, I love this kind of shit.
This is great.
Yeah. This is fun. Yeah. But I won't say, oh, it's not appreciated, but people in an RPG, they want quick fun. and this is what you have to give them if you want to be successful. I understand this now, but
let me clarify. Like that example I gave you, this person has like sold far more copies than I have, so it's not like I'm, you know, it's maybe I should learn personal, something.
Personal preference, right? And there's a thing. I mean, I know it myself. I'm not always in the mood for like gut punching poetry. Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. Most of the time I'm not, because I'm, you know, busy with work. So yeah, having this like nice escape is cool. And this is why people read Lit RPG. Also, personally, I think your books strike a good balance.
I think so. I think a balance is well, I wouldn't be happy with it if I didn't have some good prose in there. You know what I mean? It can't be just endorphins, you know. But I don't know, people love that stuff. So you gotta have
you're
in this genre, yeah.
You gotta have your hit. Careful. Pros and cons.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
Thanks for the heads up.
Yep. Okay. This is a very, very craft focused podcast. This particular one's the episode. I love it.
Okay, good. I was going to apologize, but no.
Don't need to.
Okay.
No, I mean, at least I haven't started talking about agile coaching yet. So the podcast isn't over yet. So you know what's up. But let's move on. Let's talk about one book that you love and why is it awesome?
I like the one that's coming to my mind right now is Joe Abercrombie, the Best Served Cold book, Vengeance. It's been a few years since I read it. I can't remember the names of the characters, but it's a female character. She gets basically betrayed and nearly killed, but she doesn't die, and it's bad news for all the jerks. Oh. Yeah, it's such a great book.
It is so good, and it like he smiles when he punches you in the gut every single second.
Oh yeah, God. He's great. I could only aspire. Yeah, Joe Abercrombie is awesome. There's a few authors I love like that. Like I think it's Mark Lawrence who wrote Red Sister. Is that right? Yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah,
I think it is. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, there's just, you know, I love good writing, and Red Sister. Okay. It goes Red Sister, Gray Sister, Holy. Yeah, it's almost progression fantasy. Like, I don't know, people reading or watching this podcast should check that out.
Yeah, there's The Armored Saint, which is a novella.
Okay,
it's actually also really good.
I haven't read
very unlikable main character.
Okay.
I it's kind of like steampunk, magic punk, power armor stories. I like power armor.
Oh yeah. Have you read what's the I can't think of it. It's about an android who starts to become sentient.
Murderbot?
Yeah.
Murderbot sounds like also cool.
Yeah.
I read the first one.
Same here. So, yeah. And then I was going to get more, but they weren't on Kindle Unlimited when I was looking. Yeah. And they were like really short, but they were all like $5. And I'm like, I'll just wait. But I never got back to it, but I liked it.
Yeah. Martha Wells like writes really, really good novellas. I think she's one of the like masters of the craft.
Thank you for remembering the author. Yeah. Martha Wells.
Yeah. It comes across my feed every once in a while. Right now, I'm listening to Ben Curry's The First Line of Defense 2. I still think you should have called it The Second Line of Defense. But I don't know, man. This is hard to remember. I'm a Lit RPG reader.
Okay, we're on. No. And then the next one, obviously, Third Line of Defense. And
exactly.
And so on. Yeah.
And then the last one is called The Last Line of Defense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I can't argue with that.
But okay, so
seems like
I think
opportunity.
I think I can spoil this much. The second story, the second book, is a complete departure from the first. The main character isn't the same. I hope I'm not like ruining his sales right now. But I love what he did with it. The narrator also isn't like, he switches from Travis Baldry to another narrator for this new protagonist. And the old protagonist does still have a place in the new book.
It okay.
still appears, still read by Travis Baldry. And they kind of like switch POV sometimes. Mm-hmm. And this new character is so different from all the other characters that Ben Carey usually writes. You know, usually he writes like these kind of like sassy kind of sassy young people, like 30 years old-ish, and going out there and punching things and kind of like trudging along. Uh-huh. Whereas, yeah, well, I can't really spoil, but the other main character is very different. And the narrator gives him this really interesting sort of gravitas that I really enjoy. Some people say like, oh, this is whiny, but I really enjoyed it.
I'll have to check it out. I haven't read it. So
yeah,
There's another series that I saw talked about on the subreddit for, I think it was Lit RPG subreddit, but I can't remember what it was, but it was another situation where the second book was a totally different protagonist to the first book. And like the people in the thread were complaining, but I haven't read it, so I couldn't weigh in, but
I should maybe do that. Like write like 100% really, really good, like standard Royal Road fair. Well done, obviously. And then the second book is like, and here's like reverse harem love novel. There you go.
Yeah. I've read a few complaints that actually happens. Like people start off with a story and then it becomes a harem in like the third book. And they're like, what the heck? How did this, you know, this wasn't advertised as a harem. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So sometimes like I can, okay. I'm making this joke. See, as you are an author and you get more and more into writing, I mean, you probably notice this as well. Your social connections start to flounder a little bit, and you have to make a concerted effort to actually keep them going. So I think by the third book, you really do want a harem.
Right. Okay.
So, I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about here, but I mean, already have my harem.
I told you at the start of this interview, like I don't talk to people. This is like the most I've spoken in. Like I've spoken more today than I have in the last 6 months combined. So,
yeah. Wow. That is,
I mean, I'm sure it's an exaggeration, but honestly, I really like, I'm writing, it's one of I'm walking my dogs and that's about it.
See, this is why I like living in Berlin in a big city. I still have all my social contacts and I can just go out and talk to people and have a good time. I don't think I would function well if I couldn't, you know, have some connection every once in a while. But
well, good.
Keep
your brain healthy. You gotta interact with people. Yeah,
mental health is vitally important. I mean, not all of us can be like teachers and like mentally hardened.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. We should probably move.
Oh, sorry.
No, you say. You go.
It's a thought that came to me out of the blue. Mm. Like, that's one of the big complaints about Victor of Tucson is his mouth. And I'm like, have you not seen teenagers these days? Like, he's like normal. Like, that's how they talk.
Yeah. But, for real, for real. Anyway.
All right. I'm good. Yeah. That's all I wanted to say.
I don't know. Like I told you, I'm not going to mostly comment on whether people want like profanity in their books or not. Torture has profanity because I really don't want any sales. So we'll see how it goes. No.
You're playing hard mode, like you said.
I am playing hell mode.
Right on.
I am beyond hard mode. And for that being said, it's sitting at 1,360 followers right now. I think this is actually for what I'm writing, that is actually outstanding. So we'll see if it can make it to if it can maybe on KU not write like not promote as Lit RPG, but maybe as like standard fantasy, or well, it's a magic punk story. It's not sci-fi. So we'll see.
Cool.
Okay. Oh, I forgot one more book that I wanted to shout out, but we can do that in shout-outs. Shoutouts, pirate. I can demonstrate that you are a liar and you actually have friends.
Shout outs. I'm going to be genuine and shout out a book that I just read. I've heard it mentioned so many times and I like the idea of the premise. So I read, Everybody Loves Large Chests. Okay. And, Nevin Iliev? Is that how you say his name? I don't know. But talk about prose. Like, yeah, he has some smut in there. Like it's mixed in, but, it's good writing. Like, honestly, the characters are interesting. The descriptions are good and the plot keeps you wanting to read. Like I was like extending my walks to keep listening. Of course it helps that, is it Hayes? Yeah. Hayes is the narrator.
Jeff Hayes. Yeah. Really,
yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Oh yeah. Awesome. So I think if this podcast releases, Jeff Hayes's podcast is the one before yours.
Okay.
So I had a blast talking to this guy. He's really cool.
I bet you did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's such great voices. Like it's been a while since I've listened to a book he did and he's really good.
And also he has this like real deep dedication to quality, which I really appreciate because I like it. I like quality. Mm-hmm. Right? And you might like it too, actually. Come to think about it.
I do like quality.
the Soundpool Theater books are just insane. From a quality perspective, right? Because he not only has the standard stuff in there, but he has Justin and Emily and all the people at Soundbooth Theater, they actually mix in small sound effects.
Little sound effects, yeah.
Yeah, like reverb in for the spells. Hmm?
Yes, and like he was clinking coins to mm-hmm. symbolize the mimic playing with his gold coins, and it was just like,
That's great.
I don't know, it was really good.
Some people don't like too much distraction. I get that, but it's so subtle that I think they can get away with it.
It's definitely never overbearing. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I very thoroughly enjoyed it, and we'll see how that goes. Okay, so you shouted that out. Yes. I'm going to shout out The City and the Dungeon, and those who delve and dwell within. You're nodding. Have you read that?
No, I haven't, but I've seen it. I've seen the name.
Really? Where?
Have I not on Reddit or?
Because so this book has actually been sent to me by one of my Patreons. This book is really good. Here, take this book. I'm like, okay, cool.
Can you show me it? Do you have it handy?
Yeah, I had it.
I thought you were. It looked like I can't see your hands. I thought you were reaching for it, and I was like, oh.
Nope.
All right. Maybe I haven't, but City in the Dungeon, doesn't that sound like something that I should have seen? I don't know.
It has 200 ratings on Amazon, and it's out like two. It came out 2020. So it's called The City in the Dungeon and Those Who Dwell and Delve Within.
I just pulled it up and I lied. I have not seen this anywhere.
Yeah.
City. It's got 574 ratings.
Oh yeah, it increased. They also have like a new cover. The Audible cover is different, but yeah. Okay. So this is a very good book. It's tightly plotted. The characters are very believable. Yes, sometimes it is a bit fast, but and sometimes I really wish he would have spent more time focusing on the RPG elements, but it really picks up the pace towards the end. Again, the characters are very believable. Even though they start out a little bit like, okay, who are these people at the beginning? Give it some time.
It has narrator, an Audible version?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. The narrator doesn't help with the pacing because he talks very fast and very clipped. But that being said, after like an hour or so, I didn't really mind all that much anymore. And he did a really good job with the voices. So I definitely think that like I've never heard of this narrator before, so I think that might be his first or second book. Like I said, the book came out like 2017. Holy cow, that's a long time ago. That was before Lit RPG was even a thing. Wow.
Maybe he's the father of Lit RPG.
No, I don't think that's Alaron Kong. Maybe he's the mother of Lit RPG.
Or the uncle, at least. I don't know.
Uncle for the RPG.
Right?
Maybe one day I will brand myself the godfather of the RPG.
I mean, like, if you say it enough times,
I do not want to be known as that. Thank you. Okay. But yeah, so the second book literally came out on 6th of March. So with only 7 years between the two books.
Have you read it, the second one?
I'm going to get it, but it's not out on audio yet. So
I'm just wondering if it's... it might be really great if he took 7 years on it.
He definitely prose very high, like very high standard on that kind of thing. It's definitely clear that this was a book that had, like, this was not a web serial. This has been plotted. This has been, like, revised. And it's quite clear. He cut stuff. You will know.
Okay.
But still a very good book. And I like the progression where the main characters go from, like, basic level zero to, to raid group. It's really cool.
That is really cool. And that's all in the first book. They go from...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The pacing is really, really, like, rapid. But it makes sense. And you kind of... Yeah, you kind of... As you read, you understand more and more and more. The book doesn't really spoon feed you a lot of stuff. So, I enjoyed it.
Cool.
I very much enjoyed it. And I don't quite remember who gifted it to me, but thank you. I will look up your name later and I'll send you a message. Okay. Right. This has been this part of the podcast. The Patreon part of the podcast will be on, well, take a guess.
Patreon.
Very good. Exactly.
Thanks.
And we're going to be talking a little bit more about plotting. We're going to be talking a little bit more about connecting emotions and also like other kind of stuff that I didn't want to put in the main podcast to not offend anyone's ears. But yeah, also we can talk about a bit more about like books that we loved and that kind of stuff. Cool. That sounded like very, very hesitant. Like, okay.
No, I'm just trying to, behave myself here. Yeah, I'm with you.
What would you do if you didn't behave?
I don't know. Maybe an inappropriate, like instead of okay, I could have, been like,
fuck yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you want to hear what other inappropriate things Plum Parrot does, then you can stay for the Patreon stuff. The link is down below. If you don't want to, that's also fine. Just a like and a subscribe and a comment would help me a lot. Because this is how YouTube works and we're all slaves of the algorithm.
And read our books.
Thank you so much. What?
And read our books.
Yes. Right. Read Plum's books. My book won't be out by the time this fuck comes out. But yeah, do go on Royal Road and leave me a comment or try in reading Torchbearer. Maybe I will even have uploaded the new version at this point. We will not quite. I don't quite know yet. But yeah, also the comment, the author's podcast is great. His book is convoluted. That has already been taken. So someone else has already written that. Thank you for that. I guess I can't fault you for it. That is very true. The version that you read is very convoluted, but still hurt my heart. So we'll see. Anyway, this was fun.
Yeah.
And we'll keep going. Thank you so much
for listening
and watching. And I will see you next time.